oneofus.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Well, we're finally here. The end of probably still inarguably the greatest video game adaptation ever made. Even if this season clearly had some issues going on behind the scenes.
Come on, Super Mario Brothers. John Leguizamo is Luigi. Come on.
Everyone remembers that.
Yeah, you know, that's only parallel to the masterworks of Uwe Boll with, you know, Blood Rain and everything else that he made.
And Far Cry.
It's been so bad, people say Detective Pikachu is a good movie.
Right.
That's kind of true.
Yeah, but this is actually probably the greatest video game adaptation ever made, because it's written by someone who knows how to write stories, actually, who will probably never work on it again.
Probably never work on anything again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to get that out of the way right here. So people heard the news that Warren Ellis got accused of quite a bit of stuff in the last year, and yes, pretty much got dropped by literally everybody, including Netflix. Which, it's interesting with the Netflix case, because they also announced they're going to do a spinoff to try and continue the brand even without him. Except they didn't announce it through themselves, they announced it through Deadline. So I'm like, I mean, the Warren Ellis thing probably not going to happen, but then it's like, but then is it actually a spinoff? Is it going to be an actual season? A new season after this?
Wait, there's going to be a spinoff of Castlevania?
It's supposed to be, apparently.
Please tell me it's Striga and Morena, like the cute lesbian couple just like has gone off to the mountains to live on a farm and raise goats. I'd watch that.
No, it's about a fucking Belmont.
Fine.
After this season, I'm not sure how they'll continue this story.
I'm not sure either. Like, I'm cool with them just making an animated thing for the Julius Belmont story that never fucking got made, because I would love that. That'd be amazing. The Battle of 1999. Fuck, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a deep fucking Castlevania.
Yep. So, hey, everybody, before we go too much further, we are talking about Castlevania Season 4, the final season of this show, which, hey, that's cool that we actually got an ending in the first place. And it's me again, Justin Zirian, and Mike. We're reunited from our Season 3 review, which awesome.
Hell yeah, and my Trevor Belmont figure.
Yeah.
That I got from the GameStop when Season 3 came out.
But now we have a couple new acolytes on our review here. We got Tessa.
Hello. What is a man? What is a puppet man?
Well, in this case, a puppet man looks a lot like Doggett.
Doggett Belmont.
Aww.
What does Doggett Belmont use for his weapon?
Man, I got claws. I got teeth. I got skills. You don't even know. You see how my cousin here like throws down. He just jumps like in video game scenes, but in an anime.
I mean, they literally have a final video game boss fight at the end of the season. So yeah. Just for people listening, we are going to at least have fair game to spoil anything before this season. But just to give you a heads up, we will not spoil any of the big things that happen at the end of this season.
We'll try not to.
Because honestly, there's some stuff here that you should see for yourselves, you know, just to see how it actually all wraps up. Tessa, why don't you give us a little setup here based on where we've been from season 3 onto here. Where do we start off this
season? We're starting off this season. We keep splitting back and forth very quickly between multiple storylines, between Sypha and Trevor going kind of town to town and seeing there seems to be a cult following for Dracula in humans and monsters, wanting to raise him from the dead, a Hector storyline with Lenore, Carmilla is wanting to take over the world, and then we have Isaac, who is raised an army of demons. And we think, oh boy, he wants to destroy the entire human race because he was enslaved and he hates humans. So we got all these different storylines that are kind of like overlapping and running into each other.
Yeah, and clearly they kind of hoped this would be multiple seasons, because it feels like multiple seasons worth of story that they kind of, because of the whole thing that went behind the scenes, they just sandwiched into 10 episodes to wrap it up.
Hey, hey, hey. People's main complaint with the last season was that it was too slow, so they fixed it.
See, honestly, I thought last season was the best season of the show. And I think that's my biggest problem with this season is that you say last season was slow. The first 5 episodes of this season just dragged on for an eternity at points. Like, not they had fights to break up every now and then, but I don't know about you guys, but I feel like this season especially had a super duper influx of long rambling monologue and speech sequences between characters.
A little.
Well, that's the thing, is that like every season does. Like, there's not a single season of the show that doesn't have those. And like, and that's the thing about some of the other seasons, that they happen so often. But the one of the reasons it didn't bother me as much in this one is because of the action that breaks up a lot of it. And plus, a lot of their long, eloquent, like, this is how what it means to be so and whatever, whatever kind of thing. And I was like, okay. And it felt short enough. And then it cut to another, like, action sequence that I think just, you know, like, alleviated some of that. The relationship still of these people when they're talking to each other about these long things is still very entertaining to me because I care about what's going on in the story.
Well, that's the thing, is that it's still well-written dialogue because Warren Ellis knows how to write good dialogue. But it just felt like the way they were trying to pace out the story, there's just a couple scenes where, especially, like, the one that stuck out to me was when, what's the guy's name? The new guy who's the Russian vampire, Ratko or something like that?
Ratko.
Yeah.
There's that, like, that 3-minute monologue he has with the other new vampire, Varney, where he just repeats pretty much the exact same point for at least, you know, 3 minutes straight. It's like, we get it. You're a baddie. You're a vampire. You kill people.
I was bored with that conversation very much so. And I gotta disagree. I don't think Warren Ellis's dialogues in this were very good. Like, some of them were good, but some of them were terrible. Like, some of the writing in this was not good.
I say good in the sense that it's very literate, but I think that leads to a much bigger issue I had with the pacing and then some of the characterization changes they made between this last season and this season. Because, like, some people are still pretty consistent among the lead cast, but I felt like some of the background and side characters really had a huge shift, and no more than, the one who had the biggest problem shift for me was Lenore, where...
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, where somehow she went from being really clever, smart, on the top of her game, and then just being a total wuss for most of the season.
She lost her, like, purpose. Like, when Carmilla was like, I just want to take over everything, she basically said, like, I've been rendered obsolete, we're not using diplomacy anymore, and that's what she's good at, is diplomacy, but she couldn't argue with Carmilla because she was so eaten up with power, so I can kind of see how she kind of lost her stride, I suppose.
Even her first scene with, like, Hector, it felt like it was something was a little off there. I'm just like, huh, usually she's a little bit more on top of things, but she's kind of being a little more submissive to him than she was before.
The way it was like, well, she's the diplomat, it's like, well, what she did with Hector was, like, the least diplomatic possible.
Right?
You could do to a human being kind of thing. So it was just like, no, she's not diplomatic. It's like, you mean she's not conniving as fuck anymore kind of thing. Which is why it's so jarring, because she was so, like, she played him like a fiddle the last
Sneaky.
Season. And then in this season, she's just sort of like, I'm just kind of sad. Like, I don't want to do anything. It's like, you fucking tricked, like, everyone in the last season, and now you're like, eh. Hector, let's talk about, like, bullshit for 20 minutes. It's like, oh my god.
I guess it would bother me more. She's kind of the only character they do that to. Like, everybody else still has something to do. Like, what's the head vampire's name?
Carmilla.
Carmilla was so dangerous, Isaac had to be like, I guess I'll be the one that saves humanity.
You know, I've read some reviews where people say, like, oh, Carmilla's one of the best characters in the show, or I'm like, I honestly felt like she was, like, the most one-note evil character in this show. Other than Varney, who's kind of just there to be like, I'm a bad guy, ha ha ha. Because it's Malcolm McDowell, of course he's a bad guy. But that led to something else that kind of bugged me, is that the way they merged the plot lines between Carmilla and Isaac's story, where I liked the actual episode where Carmilla and Isaac are head-to-head with each other was one of the best episodes of the season. Like, it was a really strong, great fight sequences, great animation. And then you never see Isaac for the rest of the season.
What? It's kind of like, it kind of makes me laugh because it almost feels like he got poochied on accident.
Seriously! Like,
Isaac just sort of disappeared, and they're like, Isaac went back to his home planet right after that. And then, like, because Hector just randomly is like, towards the end, is like, Isaac's doing a thing. And it's like, but where is he? It's like, I don't know. He's off doing a thing.
I remember the season a little bit differently. That's episode 6. He doesn't disappear for 4 episodes.
He doesn't come back after episode 6. He doesn't come back
yeah,
after
that. Yeah, he does.
Point. No, he doesn't, dude. I made a note of every episode afterwards. I'm like, yeah, Isaac does not show up.
That's true. He doesn't actually show up again. Because after that...
I will challenge this later.
Because after that, it's purely just the Sypha, the Trevor, and the Alucard stuff.
That felt like an issue where they needed to resolve his plotline really quickly to get to the big battle they want to set up for the very end of the season. And it just kind of felt like it deflated that, because Isaac's story was honestly my favorite part of this last season and this season. And then for it to just kind of end abruptly. But then I kind of want, well, but what else? What else is going to happen with him after that?
And what does he do with his demon army after that? He's like, teaches them like, hey, you can be more than the sum of your parts or what you've been used for before, which is nice. There's some really good, like, morals, and there's some good dialogue in this, but there's also some, like I said, that I wasn't too keen on. There's like a freaking Star Wars quote, and I'm just like cringed.
Oh, right.
So
what was the Star Wars quote?
I love you, I know.
Yep.
Oh, I was fine with that, only because I love those two characters.
I love those two characters, but I'm just like, come on, guys.
I like it. This season, her vernacular has been updated,
mm-hmm.
And it's some of the funniest lines in the show. Like, there's a moment where
I curse now.
There's a moment where she's like, the fuck what now? And I died laughing.
That's the thing I love the most about the show, and it's mostly because I've always loved the Trevor-Sypha relationship, even outside of this show. Like, I've always been a big fan of that weird idea of this, like, almost like a barbarian type D&D character hanging out with the mage kind of thing. But Trevor is just so much fun in all of these. As like, I love, this is in the trailer where like they kill that vampire and he's just like, I swear to God, if I could kill you again, I fucking would kind of thing. Like, and it cracks me. Like, he has so many lines like that crack me up. And then with Sypha adding on top of that, like the fact that even she's getting closer to his sort of way of talking. And then there's a great moment with Alucard where he says something that Trevor said a while back. And he's like, ah, hell.
Yeah. Which I will say that one thing I did like more this season than the last season is that they actually gave Alucard something to do.
I mean, he did two things last season.
Wow.
Yeah, what a weird fucking thing to happen to him last season. I love how, like, they bring it up where they're just like, so you got, like, almost murdered in an orgy, I guess? It's like,
but
yeah.
You're like, I had a girlfriend and boyfriend too, but they didn't try to kill me. And I was like, this girl gets him.
Oh, yeah. Which, I mean, I like the fact that they paired him up with that new character, Greta. It's one of those things where it's a kind of a predictable plot line that they give for him and her, but it's sweet. It was kind of earned because you just want something to happen to Alucard, you know, something good.
Yeah.
You didn't expect half the season to end with her being beheaded, knowing this show?
No, because that's something I actually had a problem with this season, is that where the last few seasons were super dark, you know, they were really morally gray, they had a lot of nasty stuff. This season actually was weirdly fluffy compared to the last season, where it's kind of a little bit more lighthearted. Not, it's still got violent, nasty crap happening in it.
Sure.
But the tone is a lot more optimistic than I expected.
Well, it's for the best. They weren't going to top Invincible, in all honesty.
I don't know. The last season ended on some pretty dark notes for, like, Trevor and Sypha's story was really dark, and Hector's story was really dark at the end.
Yeah, and Alucard was lonely.
I think that's why they did it, though, because the whole point of this season, honestly, is the power of people is really what it comes down to. It's, like, the power of humanity working together.
Well, not farmers.
No, not farmers. Well, some farmers.
Oh, those poor guys.
No farmers survived this season.
Mm-mm.
It's just, it's about humanity, like, working towards a goal of, like, getting past the darkness. And it's sort of, like, it starts with the fact that Trevor and Sypha are very much down in the dumps. They're like, man, we just dealt with some fucked up shit, and I don't want to do this anymore, but I kind of have to. Kind of thing, which is, you know, which has always been the Belmont thing, which is like, hey, you're the world's greatest monster hunter, that's on you. So
I wanted to ask y'all how you felt about episode 9. They introduced a group of, like, witch wraith vampire characters that were really cool and badass, but they only used them for like a couple of scenes and then they were gone.
Well, are you talking about the ones that were like had made the corpse thing at the end,
the Rebus,
and then they fought at the end?
There were some witchy vampires that were really cool, and I kind of wish they had flesh them out more.
That was a huge problem with the season two. Sorry, among other huge problems I'm keep saying, but they kept introducing really cool ideas that they would use for maybe 3 or 4 minutes apiece. Like the big buff vampire lady. She puts on
Striga.
Like dark... Yeah, Striga. She puts on Dark Souls armor to fight the farmer characters. And they use it only in that one scene and is never referenced again.
I do love what it was for, though. Like, it's like purely just sun protection. And I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, you think that, especially with that last battle and everything they were prepping up for, that would actually play a bigger role. It's like, nope, that's just, that was pretty much only for that fight scene.
I didn't want to watch her die a violent death. I just watched Yasuke, so I didn't want to watch another muscular woman just be demolished on screen. So I was happy when, you know, things for certain characters don't pay off like you would expect. And some people are just like, you know what, fuck this, I'm out.
I love that entire sequence. I'm not going to, like, exactly explain it, but, like, I love the sequence where it's just, they see what's going on, they're like, we should go.
Yeah.
they just do, and they're just like, I don't want to do, like, this isn't
That's
my
the
fucking,
spinoff. I want their story.
I don't want to deal with this right now.
It felt like that moment from Fargo season 2 when Bokeem Woodbine comes to the already, you know, tons of people dead at the hotel, and he's just like, well, my work's done. He just leaves.
Yeah, he just, like, they're just like, I'm good. I'm just gonna go. And, like, and you're totally with them, though. You're like, yeah, go.
Yeah, there's literally no reason why they should have done anything else. So.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like logically, this is exactly what you should be doing. But, there's a lot of cool stuff that gets brought up and then just sort of happens. A lot of it tends to be a lot of fan service stuff.
Yeah.
When it comes to Castlevania stuff in general. Like, for instance...
There's so much fan service.
For instance, there's a great use of... I think it's a boss from Portrait of Ruin, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Which is this, it's this giant fucking thing with, like, that walks on two legs and shoots fucking lasers. Like, I love that fucking boss. Like, that boss is hard, like, is a very difficult boss in the actual game.
Wait, was that the weird dinosaur thing that was, like,
yes.
had a stubby
yes.
tail and it was, like,
yeah.
an uncircumcised Godzilla dinosaur thing? Is that weird skin?
Yeah, because that's a boss in one of the Castlevania games. And, like, I remember it specifically because it shoots fucking lasers. I remember when they're fighting it, I'm like, doesn't this thing... Oh, there it goes.
No, I thought that they did a lot of good fan service where you wouldn't think of it as fan service unless you knew exactly what that thing they were talking about is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I will say, though, that talking about things that was, you know, maybe not in service to the grander scheme of the plot, that stuff, I wasn't quite happy with the way they treated Saint Germain for this season.
That's a tough one because Saint Germain's like... Because Saint Germain in the last ones is very lovable, kind of like roguish kind of thing.
Was he lovable?
Well, he's lovable in his kind of archetype.
Yeah.
Roguish kind of thing. Roguish and scamp.
I never trusted the piece of shit.
Whereas in this one, he proves that specific idea. Because in the other one, you expect him to do it. And then in that season, he's just sort of like, it turns out he's not actually like something super nefarious. And then this season's like, but what if he just decided to have something super nefarious?
And that's the thing, is like, I buy the logic, but I felt like the pacing of it where it was just so like, and now he's evil kind of thing. You're just like,
well, that's one of the funniest things when it's like 6 weeks ago, because it's just trying to be like, well, you know, anything can happen within a 6 week time kind of thing.
Plus he had a horcrux, sort of. He had that necklace.
Yeah.
It made him crazy because it was playing that like weird tinnitus-y sound, which was like that weird ringing, and then he would kind of talk to himself, and he slowly goes insane.
Also, him being evil like is what lends itself to like future reveals that like, you know, aren't really earned, but because it involves this, it's kind of passable, and I choose to give it a pass because it's fucking awesome.
This whole like season, it's like about, you know, it's like desire, power, control, revenge. The usual fare we see whenever we have characters who are like half monster, half man. What makes a man, you know, Hellboy?
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff in here. Like even Saint Germain himself, the Infinite Corridor, all those things. A lot of that stuff is stuff that is in the actual Castlevania lore. Oh, sure. And that's what I think is so impressive about the series, is it does a really good job with it, but it also... It frustrates me because it's because there's so much I want from it that it never is going
to
do now.
We should start winding down a bit to lead in final thoughts. I did have a few points to make. I still think the animation is pretty good this season. I mean, I don't know if it was just me. I noticed there was a few stuttering errors sometimes when people would move and a few issues here and there technically. But it was still overall really impressive designs. I will say that I think the new characters are all voice acted pretty well. I varied on how much I cared about them, you know, because a couple of them actually turned out to have some big payoffs later. But the one person I just did not care for at all was the character Zamfir. the head guard of the Underground Court.
Yeah.
That storyline just felt totally pointless, and it just stretched out a plot unnecessarily.
You say that, but that's when what's-her-name was at her funniest.
Sypha.
Yeah, but Sypha was just telling her the exact same thing I was thinking. I'm like, you're an idiot, you're wasting our time, stop being in our way.
Pretty much. She was telling her what you wanted to tell her. You should be happy about that.
She's the proxy for the viewer.
Pretty much at that point, yeah. So those were just a couple last points. Everything else is still pretty solid, but I feel like I'm going to be the most negative here. I felt this was actually kind of underwhelming as a final season. I think it had some very strong points. I think some of the fights were some of the best in the whole series, the actual battle scenes they had. I thought that there was a lot of funny moments. I thought there were some good dialogue exchanges, especially that one when they brought back the fly philosopher dude with Isaac's story. I thought that whole scene was...
Oh, yeah.
Fly's eyes, yeah.
Which, there was not enough of Isaac this season. I still have to complain about that. But it's just the problem, again, the biggest thing that hindered this season for me is that it's clear they weren't ready to end the show this season. They had way more ideas to lay out, and suddenly the Netflix told them, hey, by the way, this is your last season, and you're not coming back, so... just get everything done you need to right now. And it kind of just felt like that, where everything was so... it's weird where everything felt rushed, and yet they were also stretching out because they didn't have enough points to connect from A to B to C at certain points of the story. So the first 5 episodes just felt like they were dragging really hard at points. And then it got better as it went along. And I will only say that I'm okay with most of the way they resolved the stories for the characters, even though it was... you know, a little too sugary for my taste based on what I've been seeing the previous seasons. The only one I had a huge problem with, and I won't spoil what, but the very last scene in the show kind of ruins anything going forward at this point for Castlevania.
A little bit, yeah. Without explaining it, it's hard to say, but yeah.
Yeah, I was not crazy about that. It's like, it's weird. It's a really well-written scene that has no place being the very final scene of this story. So... yeah, I don't know. I was kind of optimistic going in, but the longer it went on, I just felt like, well, season 3 was the high point of this show, and now it's just kind of, it's just over. So, and yet, even with my feelings about this, this is still the best thing adapted from a video game ever. So, unfortunately though, I'm going to give the season 6 out of 10 totally obvious reveals as to who the leaders of the court are.
I love this show. Even with all my issues with it, a lot of my issues just come down to, again, Giant Castlevania Nerd. They didn't use any of the music from the game this season, which I was really hoping something would, you know, pop up. As far as I know, I couldn't tell.
I thought I heard a few bars.
Well, the thing is, like, the second season just straight up used Bloody Tears, just, like, for an entire sequence. And that was one of my favorite things the entire show. And I was hoping for something similar, like maybe a use of, you know, Nothing to Lose is one song that I was really hoping would appear at some point. But never does. Vampire Killer itself never does, as well as quite a few other really popular, famous songs. I loved everything involving Trevor and Sypha, of course. They're my two favorites. Their relationship goals, 100%, a lot of the times when it comes to those guys. All of the action sequences with them are so well done, and so as well as everything. Every action sequence in the show is just consistently well done.
Oh, yeah.
Trevor's final fight sequence stuff is fucking breathtaking. I must have rewatched that fight like 4 times. Because it was just so fucking amazing. There's some letdown stuff when it comes to some of the plot points. I do agree on that. I like the ending a lot up until a point.
Mm-hmm.
The implications of the final thing is just, it's weird. Like, only because it means that there's so much that you can't really do with Castlevania because so much of it revolves around the fact that it ends that way. And it's just kind of weird that it ends that way instead of what I was expecting. Alucard was great. His stuff was fantastic. I liked it a lot more than last season.
Yeah.
Malcolm McDowell's fucking great. I loved him the entire goddamn time.
There was not enough of him, but he was awesome every time he spoke.
He was hysterical, as well as just like menacing when he needed to be.
He had one of my favorite insults ever in this season.
And we can't say it.
Oh, I can't say it because it's a huge spoiler, but it's on the level like the Warriors when Ajax tells the guy he's going to shove the bat up his butt. You know, it's like, yeah, it's almost that good.
Absolutely. And then there's so many like great reveals throughout the season, but it does feel like there was supposed to be more to it. And then it kind of just rushed itself into the point. But man, the second, the final, like, the when the three of them meet each other again,
mm-hmm.
I got so fucking giddy the entire time. I was just like, I don't care about any of the slowness or whatever it was. It all was worth getting to this point and then onwards. And I feel like that with the entirety of the show. From Castlevania Season 1 through 4, this is the best video game adaptation of anything, mm-hmm. even without some of the stuff I would love to be in it, it's the thing I will point to and be like, this is how good video game adaptations can be when you give a shit about your source material. Mm-hmm. I would personally give this, it's hard to come up with an arbitrary number because of what I'm going to do, but I would give it 18 squirrels out of 19 squirrels it takes to kill a dog.
I get that.
It's a throwaway line in the mm-hmm. season, but the second I heard it, I was like, I'm going to use that.
Oh, boy. I love this. And I've never played a single video game in this series.
I was gonna say, like, never played one ever?
Yeah, I was about to be like, what? That's impossible.
Well, I play Mario because I'm a good kid. I'm a good Christian boy.
Is Mario a Belmont?
I mean, you see how he jumps? How else do you explain the finale? Well, okay, in all seriousness.
He fights ghosts. That might count.
I had a lot of fun with this season. What carries a lot of the slower pace issues that some of you all have is the humor in it. I actually found a lot of humor in it. I'm just saying I had a good time. The characters are still great, and I kind of don't have an issue with the last 5 minutes of the show because it's the end.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't think we're going to get a spinoff. if I'm being completely honest, I think this is the end of the show, and I think it's the end of the series for right now for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of okay with it. I would give this 8 out of 10 boomerangs.
I feel like I like this season just fine. The animation is definitely improved. The action sequences are much tighter and the angles are great. Trevor and Sypha are an adorable couple, like Mike said. They are relationship goals. You know, hey, we take turns. You know, we do some fun adventuring that Sypha enjoys. And then we get down and gritty and we start fighting some really hard monsters and Sypha starts cursing. The first few episodes, there for a while, I feel like they were hopping and bopping back and forth between the storylines a little too much instead of taking their time. You guys said the pacing was an issue. I felt like the way they were jumping back and forth too quickly, I think, was a bit much. I feel like they could have lingered on some of the characters that I wanted to see more of a bit more. I feel like it hopped and bopped a little bit weird. And I feel like we got a whole lot of everybody else except for Trevor and Sypha sometimes. I'm like, I was like, I'm seeing all these other characters, which is fine. It's nice to round out the cast, but it just seemed a little weird sometimes. Yeah, the animation was great. Some of the dialogue I had issues with. Some of the humor was fine, and then some of the humor I found a little misplaced.
Yeah, there's some weird bits, like what Fly Eyes doing the thing where, like, yo, oh, who's a pretty girl kind of thing. I was like, that joke just kind of just didn't go anywhere. You know,
it was a weird one.
That one didn't really bother me so much.
I thought it was funny, but it was weird.
The thing is, he's creepy. That's his whole shtick. He's a creepy demon dude.
I couldn't help but laugh at the other demon and be like, "Are you gonna take it?" He's like, "No."
Yeah, the other demon wanted him to take it with. Like, I think he liked
the
it.
The other demon didn't say a thing, and he was funnier. Like,
but yeah, I feel like some of the writing could have been a little bit better. I feel like seeing some of these characters use a lot of contemporary like colloquialisms like we would use is kind of strange, you know.
They are timeless. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there
the
is
fuck what now.
I don't know,
that's still such a basic moment.
What fuck now?
What? Yeah, the fuck what now, it just cracks me up every time.
But yeah, I love the different monster designs. They're all great. I liked all the different types of demons. I feel like they didn't just recycle things. It's like there was weird like spiders with pustules, and there's acid millipedes and dinosaurs and dragons and big bat things and some guy who looked like Demon Man or whatever it was, like from the anime.
Yeah, Devil Man Crybaby, whatever.
Yeah. So like Isaac had like a right hand man like demon dude who was really cool, and I was like, what's his story? Like, his design's really badass.
That guy wasn't in a previous season, was he?
Not that I know.
No, he was...
His story was looking fabulous.
He was new, and I was like, he's straight out of a JRPG. What is his story? So anyways, yes, I love the animation. I overall liked the story, but I feel like there are certain aspects that they just kind of, like, left unexplored, like you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, they brought this thing up and then it never kind of went anywhere. That said, I'm gonna give this 7 out of 10 ice chainsaws, or what was it, like a jigsaw.
Okay.
At the beginning, Sypha used the thing where she makes like.
Oh yeah.
They're so creative with her stuff. It makes me happy.
Her ice weapons.
Okay, Justin gave this the lowest score. We got to eat him now.
Oh my gosh. But hey, you know that demons don't just eat blood and meat. They eat berries now too.
Berries.
Yeah, but you got that nice Christian diet. There's no poisons in you. There's no, like, I'm going to be chewing on your bones. It's like, you know he didn't drink.
What is a man but a miserable pile of berries?